evening, listeners, and welcome along to another edition of Ireland Calling, broadcasting here out of the Planet FM studio in Auckland. After another lovely day up here in Auckland, you're listening to us on Saturday in Plains FM in Christchurch, Sunday afternoon in Kapiti Coast, Sunday evening in Wellington, and around the world on planetaudio.org.nz. Programme Ireland Calling, brought to you as it is each week with the support of the Hugh Green Group. So wherever you're listening tonight, I hope you can stay with us for the next hour. We'll bring you all the latest news from Ireland. We have got some good music, and don't forget, not far to go now until New Zealand Irish Fest gets underway. And next week on the programme, we're going to have a chat to one of the artists, Damien Dempsey. So make sure you get onto the website there, nzirishfest.co.nz, and book your tickets for all the various events that's happening throughout the country. But first up tonight, we'll play the song. There's lots of talks about the green fields of France and all the other fields in France over the last few days as we move towards the centenary of the ending of the First World War. So here is the Fury Brothers and the Green Fields of France to start us off on the programme tonight.
Well, how do you do, young Wilt McBride? Do you mind if I sit here down by your graveside and rest for a while? Need the warm summer sun. I've been walking all day and I'm nearly done. I see by your gravestone you are only 19 when you joined the great fallen in 1916. I hope you died well, and I hope you died clean. Our young Willie McBride was it slow and obscene. Did he beat the drums slowly? Did he play the fife slowly? Did they sound the death march as they lowered you down? And did the band play the last post and chorus? Did the pipes play the flowers of the forest? Did you leave it a wife or a sweetheart behind? In some faithful heart is your memory enshrined? Although you died back in 1916, in that faithful heart are you forever 19? Or are you a stranger without even a name, enclosed them forever behind the glass frame, in an old photograph torn, battered and stained and faded to yellow in the brown leather frame? Did he beat the drum slowly? Did he play the fine slowly? Did I sound the death march as they lowered you down? Did the band play the last post and chorus? And did the pipes play the flowers of the forest? The sun, now it shines on the green fields of France. There's a warm summer breeze that makes the red poppies dance. And look how the sun shines from under the clouds. There's no gas, no barbed wire, there's no gunfiring now. But here in this graveyard, it's still no man's land. The countless white crosses stand mute in the sand. To man's blind indifference to his fellow man, to a whole generation that were butchered and damned. Did he beat the drum slowly? Did he play the fife slowly? Did they sound the death march as he lowered you down? And did the band play the last post and chorus? Did the pipes play the flowers of the fall? My young Willie, my bride, I can't help wonder why. Two doves that lie, know why did they die? And did they believe when they answered the call? Did they really believe that this war would end wars? Well, the sorrow, the suffering, the glory, the pain, the killing were all done in vain. For young Willie McBride, it all happened again and again and again and again and again. Did they beat the drums slowly? Did they play the fife slowly? Did they sound the death march as they lowered you down? Did the band play the last post and chorus? Did the pipes play the flowers of the forest? Did they beat the drums slowly? Did they play the fife slowly? Did they sound the death march as they lowered you down? Did the band play the last post and chorus? And did the pipes play the flowers of the fall?
Yes, indeed, the Green Fields of France there, sung by Finbar Fury. And, of course, an appropriate song, and this is the week that we celebrate Armistice Day on Sunday, the 11th of November. And, of course, that's the day that the President Higgins will be installed again as our next President of Ireland. And he has asked for the inauguration to take place at 6 o'clock in the evening rather than early in the morning, like it normally does, because he knows that many people want to attend events in Ireland that morning or watch events on TV celebrating Armistice Day. So 6 o'clock at Dublin Castle on Sunday night is when Michael D. Higgins will be inaugurated and for his second term of office. And the man that came second to him, he probably won't ever go on the Late Late Show again. He was invited on Friday night by Ryan Tuberty. And I watch the Late Late Show from time to time. You can watch it on the RT player. And I have to say, I agree with a lot of people that it was an ambush interview. Tuberty really went for him and planted people in the audience, the travelling community. And it was quite an embarrassing, the whole thing. But Casey, who came second, he got about 320,000 votes. He said that he'd like to enter local politics. And he said he'd like to become a member of Fianna Fáil and be a TD and take over and lead Fianna Fáil. But that's not going to happen. And if he wants to get into national politics, the best thing for him to do, probably the only way he'd get in, would be as an independent. And I was listening to a former TD from my own constituents this morning on a radio programme, Tom Hussey, and he talked about changes in politics now, and he just thinks that there's too many independent politicians in Ireland, and I think I'd have to agree with him. You need major political parties to have any clout, and with, I think, about 26 independents, it's very hard for the government to do deals with them all in return for their support. And the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar gave a long, lengthy interview with Marion Finucane at the weekend, and he talked about his plan to get support from Fianna Fáil, you know, through to 2020. And but that's probably unlikely to happen. Fianna Fáil will probably continue to support the government until there's a clearer view on Brexit, and if they see an opportunity to get into power. But they're not doing that well in the polls at the moment, and the only way that they could possibly get back into power is with the support of doing a deal with Sinn Féin, which both parties say they won't do. But more about that as we come closer to the election. And of course, the elections in America are dominating all the news all around the world today. Just quickly here, the UK cabinet could agree to backstop review deal. This was something that Leo Varadkar said that he was open to discuss with Theresa May after a phone call from her on Sunday. And of course, the Nationalist community here, Cranfield, they want no negotiation on a hard border between North and Southern Ireland. More on that and plenty more music throughout the next hour here on Ireland Calling. Up next, we nearly have a song, if not every week, every second week from Luke Kelly. But this is The Night of It, lovely song.
This morning's tempest I have to cross. I must be guided without a stumble into the arms I love the most. And when he came, wake up, love, it is thine own true lover. Wake up, love, and let me in. For I am tired, love, and oh so weary, and more than near drenched to the skin. She's raised her off her down soft pillow. She's raised her up and she's let him in. And they were locked in each other's arms until that long night was past and gone. Small clouds began to grow. He's taken her hand and they've kissed and parted. Then he saddled and mounted and away did go.
Yes, the unmistakable sound there of Luke Kelly, and that's called The Night Visiting Song. And the night is young here, we just started off, and you're listening to Ireland Calling. Right, oh, well, I see nurses in Ireland are following the path of nurses in New Zealand here. They're calling for to ballot for an all-out national strike over pay, and they're looking to secure pay increases and to tackle recruitment and retention difficulties. The Minister for Education, Joe McHugh, he promises a full inquiry into the spate of structural issues at schools. 43 schools had been discovered with structural defects, and there was a midterm break last week, so many of them were obviously examined, and most of them passed the test. There's a few in Dublin that alternative arrangements have been made, and these are all relating to outer walls, and the company that built them, company with a good reputation, Western Building Systems, they're welcoming the review and hope that it'll be independent. I see the Taoiseach says that no hospital staff medical staff should take holidays in January. Of course, January is a big time that people go off and do skiing holidays and even sunshine holidays to get away from the winter in Ireland. But with the huge issues over waiting lists and people on trolleys, obviously the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar wants people to stay here. Right, an extradition warrant to extradite a man from Donegal in relation to the killing of two Ulster Defence Regiment soldiers in Enniskillen in Fermanagh in 1972. It was brought before the High Court in Dublin yesterday, and the man's name is John Downey, and he's accused of killing two soldiers in 1972. He's 66 now, so he would have been obviously in his early 20s when this happened, and when things were really bad in Ireland at the time when all the sectarian trouble started. Majority of immigrants doing better than locals. New research shows Africans appear significantly disadvantaged. And there was a gruesome murder in the leafy suburb of Foxrock last week, where people from African countries were renting this house in a very exclusive area, Foxrock of Dublin, and a young man was killed and his body dismembered. And he was about 27, and a lady that actually shared the house with him and a number of other people was arrested, and she was charged with murder earlier this week. Right, we'll hit the button here and we'll hit a song called Slip Into Spring. Yes, that's Slip Into Spring from Riverdance. And of course, Riverdance still going strong with shows still performing around the world. Welcome along. If you've tuned in, you missed the first 20 odd minutes of Ireland Calling, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. And you're listening maybe on a Wednesday night in Auckland, a Saturday afternoon or Saturday evening in Christchurch, Sunday night in Wellington, and Sunday afternoon on the Kapiti Coast, and any other night of the week on planetaudio.org.nz. And as I said, program sponsored each week with the support of the Hugh Green Group. Right, just looking back at some of the other stories, and we'll come back and have a look at the sports news after this next piece of music. Of course, this weekend, Ireland got off to a good start in rugby with a win over Italy, but the big games are this weekend against Argentina, and of course the following week on 17th of November against the All Blacks. But more about that and a roundup of fixtures from the weekend later on. I see here where you live in exclusive suburbs like Dalkey in South Dublin, you want to make sure if somebody buys a neighbouring property, you object to any potential to take place there. And I see where Pat Kinney, the broadcaster, he's objecting to a company called Bar Track Capital, who bought a house and a vacant site near where he lives. They're proposing to build, 26 properties, 26 apartments, and up to 7 houses. And it's a beautiful part of Dublin, South County Dublin. And I'm sure if there was a property going up next door to you, you certainly, unless it's a single house like dwelling that's there, you won't be too happy. But the Plan and Appeal are looking at this at the moment, so it'll be interesting to see what happens there. What else is happening? As I said, Brexit is the main issue that's being discussed. There was supposed to be all the leaders of Europe were supposed to be meeting the European Union leaders later this month, when everything was supposed to be pretty much put in place for Britain to leave the European Union. But still, negotiations are taking place, and it looks like that the Irish issue is the big issue. So the European Union leaders, the other 27, seem to be supporting Ireland at the moment, but they've looked for some concessions to be made by Ireland in relation to the border, and they haven't been fully disclosed yet. But it says here, Brexit clause may be an advantage. Taoiseach says to come to an agreement, you have to be open to creative solutions. And of course, Sinn Féin leader McDonnell accuses Varadkar of a cock-up during heating exchanges. Varadkar has staunchly defended his remarks that he is open to considering a review clause in the Brexit withdrawal agreement. He said such a clause might be to Ireland's advantage if there was to be a backstop as it lasted into perpetuity. But he said a review is very different from an exit clause, and we can't accept an exit clause that would allow the UK to unilaterally resile from the backstop, nor could we accept an expiry date. And of course, the other big issue for both Britain and indeed the Republic of Ireland is to see an executive up and running in Northern Ireland. There's a lot of distrust between the main political parties in Northern Ireland right at the moment. Obviously, the Democratic Unionist Party are propping up the British government, and they don't want to upset them or push them too hard to get back into bed with Sinn Féin. So until Brexit is sorted out, we're going to have some issues. Mary Robinson, she featured on the Late Late Show last week talking about her new role. She's chairperson now of a group called the Elders, which previous chairperson, I'm pretty sure, was Nelson Mandela, or this was set up by Nelson Mandela. I think the previous chairperson was Kofi Annan, who died a few weeks ago. But she was on talking about a new book that she's written, promoting obviously climate change, and saying that it's a huge big issue that we all have to front up and face. And the interviewer talked about her being a vegan as well, but she doesn't eat meat, but she certainly eats fish and cheese and other products. So she got into a bit of trouble there last year when she was encouraging Irish people to all turn vegan and turn away from meat. Okay, we'll move on with another piece of music, and this is a song called Aslan. This is you. Yes, that's Aslan there, and a lovely song called This Is. And obviously, the lead singer there was very ill a few years ago, but good to see that he's doing well. And it was a nice song with him. And I'm pretty sure it was Finbar Fury on one of the episodes of the Late Late Show last year. I think they did the Green Fields of France, that song that we played earlier on. If you've tuned in, you've missed the first half of the programme, Ireland Calling. And we're now into our sports section. And big weekend for Dundalk Football Club. They won the FAI Cup and League Championship that they won a few weeks ago. So people are saying now that it's time for Stephen Kenny, the Donegal manager, or the Dundalk manager, to be given higher honour in football management in Ireland, and possibly even to take over the national team, because the current management set up that contracts were renewed earlier this year, around January, February, with Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane. And after their performances in recent matches, people have been calling for them to be sacked. But they said it would cost too much money to sack them now, so they're going to probably stay there. I think they've got another 2 years. But you would ask what a man like this guy, Stephen Kenny, he's probably getting paid about 40 or 50,000, I'd say, not much more, to manage Dundalk. And Martin O'Neill, I think his fee would be probably 600,000 or 700,000, and Roy Keane 200 or 300, so maybe more. They're getting big money to manage the Republic of Ireland soccer team. If they were doing well and qualifying for all the tournaments and getting to the playoff stages, that would be good, but they're not. Unlike their cousins playing rugby under the guidance of Joe Schmidt, who will announce at the end of the month his plans for the future, whether he continue on with Ireland as a result after the World Cup or come back to New Zealand. But I think the indications are he's given it all, is all in Ireland. He's got family back here. His parents are getting on in age, and he wants to come back here. So I would say that a deal has been done for him to get up to get a senior position here within the New Zealand Rugby Union after the World Cup. That's my gut feeling. I might be completely wrong, but he'd be happy with the performance of a second string Irish team against Italy in Chicago weekend. And one guy, Jordan Larmour, He scored 3 tries, and he's listed as one of the most up-and-coming or young players, along with Ioki Ioane, I think, Ioane Ioane, and maybe two New Zealanders. And that announcement is coming up in a few weeks' time. Of course, on the rugby front, they play Argentina this weekend, which will be a much tougher test than Italy. And then the big one the following Saturday against the All Blacks. And but certainly, Joey Carberry got his first start at number 10, and according to Gerry Thorney in the Irish Times, Amona Schmidt offers some words of comfort to Carberry and McGrath. Coach believes halfbacks will learn from their experience, so that's good news for them. And of course, the All Blacks play England this weekend. England just scraped through against they played South Africa at the weekend. Heaps of coverage of soccer, Premiership soccer, in all the papers on Amanda. Good news for my own county, my own club, Kilcairn Clonburn. And I didn't see this picture until now, but there was a nice picture of Olivia Dively along with her sister Siobhan. And they are literally rolling around the park after they beat All-Ireland champions Carnacon in the All-Ireland on the Connacht final at the weekend. So they take on Moran Abbey from Cork, that game being played on Sunday week. So they were beaten by Carnacon last year in a replay, and Cora Staunton, she was the key figure in all the matches last year, and I think she scored 1-7 for Carnacon. But thankfully Kilcairn got through, and they'll take on Moran Abbey next weekend. The Leinster Senior Hurling Championship quarter final, Niamh Aoine quick off the mark. Niamh Aoine 3-18 from Wexford beat Camaros. For Niamh Aoine, this is the winter they will hope they will never end. Their first Wexford title came along a fortnight ago, and now their first foray into the Leinster Championship has a little win behind it, so they beat Camaros, obviously, from Laois. Right, there was one county final. It was a replay between Corrifin and Montbellier-Mylo in Galway, and Corrifin, they're the current All-Ireland club champions. And here are the other games. So this is the Ballygunner Munster Club Senior Hurling Championship semi-final. This is after 2 periods of extra time. Ballygunner from Waterford 2-26. Ballyea, I think they're pretty much county. They're Clare, I'm pretty sure. 2-23. So should Ballygunner go on and win the Munster title in 2 weeks' time, they'll have done it the hard way. The formidable Limerick champions, Na Piercy, who beat them in last year's final, await. But just through a semi-final against the 2016 All-Ireland finalist Ballyea, a near-death experience before they outlasted the Clare champions. So well done to Ballygunner from Waterford there. Ulster Club Senior Football Championship quarter-final, Scotstown from Monaghan 13 points, the Burn from Down 10. Owen Roa 2-11, Carloran 11 points, and Guidoor hold firm against Carrigan. Guidoor 3-11. Aaron's own Carrigan, Donegal champions Guidoor survived a second half scare against Carrigan of Antrim to secure a place in the last 4 of the Ulster Senior Football Championship finals. Connacht Club Senior Football Championship quarter finals, Ballintubber Mayo beat Tullastrán just by 1 point, 6 points to 5. As I mentioned, Corrifin 1-8 over Montbellier-Mylo, 5 points in that replay. Munster Senior Football Championship quarter-final, Dr. Crokes and Kerry, big winners over Moyle Rovers from Tipperary, 3-15 to 18 points. The Nair, 1-18, Adair 12 points. That's in the Munster Club Senior Football Championship quarter-finals. So the Nair will obviously be taking on Crokes there in the next game. Scotstown, as I said, do enough to see off the Burn. So that was all the games over the weekend. Of course, it was a big focus on the sporting front in Melbourne yesterday when Aidan O'Brien had a number of horses in the Melbourne Cup, including the horse that was obviously favourite, Yucatan, if the weather, obviously the wet weather yesterday, affected the going, and the horse that horse finished 11th. But more disappointment for Aidan O'Brien and the owners of the horse called the Cliffs of Moher. That horse had to be put down after pulling up lame with a shoulder injury after the first 600 metres of the race. But in an interview afterwards, Aidan O'Brien said, yeah, very sad, but he's happy that the horse did the right thing and stayed on its 3 feet rather than stumbling, which could have been catastrophic for the jockey, but the jockey was very distraught. Nobody likes to see a horse, a beautiful animal, being put down. And there was talks before that maybe the horse was a little agitated because it was sweating a lot, but you know, the decision was made. Obviously the vets make decisions before horses race, and everything seemed to have been fine. So disappointment for Aidan O'Brien. Of course, he hasn't won the Melbourne Cup yet. His son Joseph did it last year, and yesterday it was the turn of the English bred horses, with that horse ridden by the Aussie jockey, winning it for the third time. Right, we'll take a few reels and jigs here, and then we'll come back with Damien Dimsey. In fact, we'll do the we'll do the reels and jigs followed by Damien Dimsey.
Feeling came o'er me stealing, and the mice were squealing in my prison cell, and the owl triangle went jingle. All along the line. my good girl sound. In their female prison, there are 75 women, and there's among them I wish that I did well.
Yes, well, if you haven't got your ticket yet, make sure you get out and get a ticket to see Damien Dimsey, who's one of the many artists appearing in the New Zealand Irish Fest that gets underway next week. And tickets available through their website, nzirishfest.co.nz. And there's obviously the film festival is on, there's comedians performing, and there's musicians all taking part in the festival, which, as I said, runs in all the major centres, Auckland, Wellington and Christchurch. And all going well, on the programme next week, we'll be having a chat to Damien Dimsey before he starts his tour. Just looking through some of the other pages in the paper, see where the former head of the health executive in Ireland, HSE, came out at the weekend. Of course, he kind of resigned. Well, he did resign earlier this year around the time of the scandal into the cervical cancer screening, and he basically disappeared. He was gone overseas, but he came back and gave an extensive interview to one of the papers on Sunday, and he basically was very critical of the Minister for Education. And you know, this came out literally within 2 weeks of one of the people who died as a result of the incorrect readings of our cervical cancer screening program, Emma Vic McMahona. And everybody criticised this guy O'Brien, Tony O'Brien, for the way that he came out and blamed everybody instead of standing up and taking the blame himself. So obviously we might hear from him for another while yet. What else has been happening in Ireland? Well, obviously, as there is everywhere around the world, there's lots of attention today and the last few days on the midterm elections in the US of A. And it looks like that it's a bit of a victory at this stage, looks like it, for the Democrats in one of the houses. But obviously, Trump still has a lot of followers that are very happy with the way America's going. And one of the other houses, and of course he's going to stay as president for another 2 years at least, unless they impeach him, but I doubt that's going to happen. See, there's an Irish delegation at a huge big trade show in Beijing this week, led by a former friend of mine who's the Minister for Trade and Enterprise now, Heather Humphreys, and the businesses, Irish businesses that have come out to China this week expect to sign up to contracts that will be worth in the region of 50 million. And of course, more and more Irish companies are looking for opportunities now in Asia and indeed in China. and our new ambassador to New Zealand, Peter Ryan, we spoke to here a few weeks ago on the programme, talked about that and the big economic links between Ireland and the Asian countries, with a view to continuing good, strong strategic links going forward, as there will be here between Ireland and New Zealand. Them links could take a bit of a turn for the worse next week when the All Blacks go over there. We want to promote Kiwi companies, I'm sure, in Ireland, but the All Blacks machine are going to have to be on their top of their game if they're to overcome a very strong Irish team. And I see here we're Gordon Darcy in the front of the sports section of the Irish Times on Wednesday. He said, "My part in the greatest victory that never was." I haven't had a chance to read this, but we say, looking at the All Black bench from Sunday, the 24th of November 2013. Of course, that was the day that Ireland literally were leading by 5 points with about two or 3 minutes to go. And Johnny Sexton had a penalty just to the right of the post that he put over most times with his eyes closed, and he just shaved the post to the right, and New Zealand from the following attack ran the length of the field to score a try, and then Cruden got a second turn at kicking the ball over, conversion to win the game as a result of the Irish players running off their line when he was obviously preparing to take it. So that's what Gordon Darcy, a good player and a good line master player. There's a picture here, Joey Carberry, Ireland ready to make improvements at home after building solid foundations. So there's a picture of Carberry with the head down a bit coming out of Carlton House, which is a beautiful exclusive hotel sports complex outside Maynooth that they train at. And the picture in the Irish Times today shows the beautiful colour of the leaves as they're turning to various shades of brown and bronze over the last few days. Righto, we'll hit another button here and take some more.
While the tears down my pillow were Teddy was courting another fair lass, and didn't I wake with a weeping and wailing? The pain in my heart was too deep to conceal. My mother cried, Nora dear, what is your ailing? But all I could answer was Teddy O'Neill. I've seen your cabin beyond the boarding. I've seen the old crossroads where we used to dance. I've rambled
the wonderful voice there of Dolores Keane, and a lovely song called Teddy O'Neill. And that takes us almost to the end of another edition of Ireland Calling. Thanking in tonight, programme brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. So I'll be back again next week with another programme and a special guest, Damien Dempsey. So don't forget to get out there onto the website nzirishfest.co.nz and book your tickets for all the great events that's happening in November. For me, Oliver Lee, good night, goodbye and God bless. And I'll leave you with a piece of Illan Piping here from the late Liam O'Flynn, passed away earlier this year.